7, 8. Caffeinated faith with Ray and E. Jesus talk.
Hello.
Hey.
Welcome to another episode.
Welcome. For those who are new here, this is a Christian-based podcast with Ray and E.
And we are currently on episode 19, if I remembered correctly.
Let's hope.
Definitely 19. And today's topic is what you
worldly
say?
Worldly possessions.
Ew.
Worldly possessions, guys.
Yes. And I feel like you could touch on a few things with that.
Mm-hmm.
But money is definitely the biggest thing out there.
Yeah, money, as well as just, you know, expensive things mm-hmm. that you accumulate that some people think they have to have so much of or they honor.
Yeah, and doing all that can change how you are as a person, and like
for sure
all the bad things will be coming, can like come out of it, like greed, pride, all the stuff that you shouldn't be.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to just kick it off with a verse.
I feel like I know what it is.
Proverbs 15:16.
No, that's not it.
I have a couple more later, so maybe. But this one says, better to have little with fear of the Lord than to have great treasure and inner turmoil. So a lot of times, like, the richest of people, they have all these treasures, they have all these things, but they have an inner sadness. They don't have the Lord most of the time, because if you're filthy rich and that's all you care about, normally mm-hmm. God doesn't like that, and you turn to the worldly treasures and not to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So it is better to have little with fear of the Lord. Obviously we want to be able to pay for our house and pay for, you know, the essentials and everything.
Yes, I feel like stuff like that is okay. Like, obviously, being human, we have to, like, save up for, like, whether it's retirement plans or
mm-hmm.
obviously, like, keep up with the house that you have and, mm-hmm. and everything. But I feel like, aside from the necessities, I always have my mom in my head when it's, like, it's not a need, it's a want. Like, people mm-hmm. want the excess stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And we're guilty of it sometimes. Like,
yeah.
We'll splurge on something that maybe we shouldn't have. But we really try to focus on the treasures that we're going to gain in heaven and not mm-hmm. here on earth.
Yeah, I think it's basically how you go about it.
Yeah.
I had a verse as well
mm-hmm.
In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 10. It says, but godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. If we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs.
Yes, that's so, facts.
So I kind of broke down some of the parts that stuck out to me, which is when it said, for we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out. It's like literally a reminder that we enter this world without the possessions. So like the things that you keep on
nothing.
Possessing over, it's all
yeah.
temporary. Like it's not gonna go with you. So why waste your time and desires on it?
For sure.
And I love the part where it says the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, because it actually indicates that the money is not the evil thing. It's mm-hmm. you and like what you put into it. Like So the excessive love and the desire that you could have for that.
Yeah, and we see that every day. That's not just in the Bible. Like, we see that all the time. It's very rare that you have a rich person, famous person, come to the Lord. We're seeing it, though. We're seeing it happen, and that's amazing. Hopefully
yeah.
it's genuine.
Right.
But we see that money is the root of all evil. Like, we see families breaking apart over it. We see so much
mm-hmm.
destruction in this world over money.
And it doesn't even last you forever. So, like,
no,
you know.
You can't take anything with you.
And I feel like also people boast. I hate when people boast about things. Unless it's something that Jesus has done for you. But,
or you're using it to honor God, right?
But, like, people who boast about themselves, about how much they have, or about, like, maybe their jobs or whatever the case is. Mm-hmm. Like, I just don't like when they boast about it because mm-hmm. There's even scriptural like teachings against pride. And mm-hmm. similar to what you read, because I also have Proverbs 16:8, but which you guys can read, but it states that pride goes before destruction, and believers are called to be humble.
Yeah,
like how we've said before. And also in Matthew, it states how we shouldn't even serve two masters. Like, you can't serve money and God at the same time.
Hey. You yes. took my thing, girl.
Without knowing. I swear.
We cannot have two masters.
Because I think it says something about, like, you'll either love one and despise the other or yeah. be loyal to one.
Yep. And right. We become a servant of God, or we become a slave to the money.
Right.
We but our things together just recited that whole thing.
Thanks.
Like, that's, and it's so true. We cannot have two masters. We cannot have a master of God and money. It's just not going to work in your favor. It's not going to work in his favor. So therefore, it can't be done.
And it even goes just even beyond the money aspect of it. Just anything in life, like, you can't choose the world over God,
because
like how we were talking about before about like being lukewarm, like you can't have your cake and eat it too.
Right.
One or the other, it's not gonna work. It doesn't mesh together. So yeah. like you have to pick one or the other, and hopefully if you're smart and you're wise, you pick the God route.
Yeah.
And all that it comes with.
Yeah, and that goes for like idols too, not just money. Like you can't be serving Taylor Swift and like fainting and at her concerts, and like that's all, you know, that's all you care about, and then have this wonderful creator God, you can't put them on the same pedestal.
I just understand how people can even like serve two at the same time. I mean, obviously, like if you do it unknowingly, then I guess that's not on you, but like I don't know, if you do know it and you're supposed to like fear the Lord, I just don't know how you can just do it with that conscious of knowing.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yes, I do. No, I do. I do. It's tough for me because I, even when I wasn't a Christian, I had a conviction of not idolizing, I guess. Like, I really didn't care to go to the next concert. Like, I had my favorite artist, whatever, but I never like worshiped them. I never needed to have that Abercrombie shirt, like, you know,
Abercrombie
shirt. I was never, thank God, I was never really materialistic. That's one thing that I think, you know, God gave me when I didn't even know him yet.
Mm-hmm.
So that I'm very thankful for that. But it's, I see it all the time, like, some people will only buy the nicest of the nicest things, or they'll, you know, they'll store all their treasures and they'll hoard them, which is really not good.
I could agree with you on the whole concert thing, because honestly, personally, I've only been to one secular concert and I was 11. And it was like, you know how like when you're a little girl, you're like, oh, like you look up to somebody, but you don't actually know, like,
mm-hmm.
you're not really idolizing them, but you just... So that was me with the Hillary Duff concert that I got for my birthday. But aside from that, I've only gone to Christian concerts. And honestly, I feel like it's more lit than regular concerts.
It is, because the Holy Spirit's there.
And everybody's doing it. And it's like, it's just like you stronger. Leave more fulfilled in anything than... It's just a whole different experience. And if you haven't done it, you should try it. But
100%.
But yeah, I just... I don't know.
I mean, how much of the Holy Spirit is in that room when like thousands of people are worshiping God?
Right. And Chris Tomlin, like, is actually one of my favorite guys to go see, because he makes it fun at the same time. It's like, I feel like people think that like Christian music or Christian concerts are like boring and like just standing there, mm-hmm. but like it's kind of fun.
So I just want to say that like we are human, Rachel and I, right? And we like to have some things. We like to have our lip gloss, you know. We like to have our decorations for the fall.
Yes.
And I just want to clarify, because I actually, you know, I had some thoughts like, am I doing this? I like, you know, possessive of some things because I have a glass elephant collection?
Right.
You know, do I possess of things because I like to have, you know, to go on a fancy dinner once in a while, you know? So I was thinking about that, and I actually brought it up to Rachel before, and we kind of clarified a couple things. And when I did some research and whatnot, I found that Jesus says that we can buy and gather earthly possessions, but we shouldn't be hoarding them. We shouldn't be idolizing them, right?
Yeah.
And he
don't sorry. No, you're good. Like, don't make it your whole life. Like,
yeah. And he calls us to use the worldly treasures to accumulate heavenly treasures also.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, I know it sounds weird, but you made your house super pretty for fall, right? You have a few decorations, but you use this space and the beauty of your space to honor God because
right.
you do worship him in your living room. You right. do.
I feel like it's how you go about it. I feel like right. whatever your intent is behind it, I mean,
it's you're not, setting the scene.
Yeah. And I feel like, I don't know, I feel like maybe where you shop to, like, I'm not going to, like, Ralph Lauren. Like, you know, like, I'm
right.
not going to, like, those expensive high notch because I have to have it because everybody's had it, like,
right.
comparing it to what other people have. Or right. when you walk in my house, it's not like it slaps you in the face. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not, like, over the top where it's like, wow, she really, right. you know, idolizes these things or she really hoards these things.
And I think I remember telling you, too. I was like... Girl goes back down into the basement for like the rest of the year anyway, so like it's not like I have to have these things out and like have to like show it off to people. I feel like that's also a big thing, is like showing it off.
Oh yeah,
like not flashing your stuff it. And
yeah, like you get it for your own enjoyment.
Yeah.
And you embrace God with right. it all around you too, like right. you're like, thank you God, you know.
Yeah.
That's another thing, being thankful for what we have is huge. Mm-hmm. Like, we can't take anything with us when we die. Nothing on this earth. We cannot take anything. And he still provides us with earthly riches for consumption and enjoyment, right?
Right.
He gives us food of the land. He gives us, like, things to see. He created the sky and the sunset. He created all of this for our enjoyment and our consumption. But... we, you know, his rules are, let's consume reasonably. For that's kind of saying, like, let's not overdo it. Let's not over drink alcohol. Let's not mm-hmm. overeat. Let's not like do too much, guys. Calm down. And we have to give thanks, like I just said.
And
too.
I feel like all that you just listed is definitely hard for most people in the mm-hmm. world.
Oh yeah.
Between the drinking, especially, like they always turn to that for problems. They don't turn to God.
Oh yeah. That can be a possession in itself.
Right. Especially if you're drinking to get drunk just to fill mm-hmm. the void. That's already a sin anyway, because you're not supposed to drink to get drunk.
Mm-hmm.
Why not go to God, who can always be there for you? Like, the bottle runs out, so like.
Right.
What? Like, I don't.
And the Holy Spirit does not.
He fills you.
He fills the cup and it overflows.
Right. Yep. And
he can make you feel way more high on top of the world than any
right.
drug or alcohol.
Truth. And I feel like people also don't give thanks as much, because I feel like maybe they take things for granted or take advantage of a lot of stuff in the world that they could have. Like, mm-hmm. they think that they could get everything at their fingertips, but
yeah,
what you really need to do is try to get with God.
Yep. Amen, sister.
I have another verse.
Okay.
That, go ahead, girl. Talks about the worldly treasures, like you were saying, in Matthew.
Okay. Which one?
Chapter 6.
19?
Through 21.
I got that one.
It says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And it's cool because I've always heard that saying in church, like, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. I never really, like, fully got into that until I read it.
I like that.
And Jesus literally, he, like, warns against accumulating the material wealth and mm-hmm. the possessions that are temporary.
Yeah.
Because they can be lost or destroyed. Even before we, like, go out of this world, like
oh,
how
yeah.
you were saying, anything could get destroyed here on earth.
Happens every day.
Right. How many times you lose something that you thought that you, like, needed or wanted,
right.
or it breaks or burns in a fire or like, you know, there's so many things and
anything can happen. And when it says for where your treasure is, your heart will be also means that like whatever your value is in, then that's where your true affection lies. So, for example, like if your primary focus is on the material wealth, then your heart will be set on those things. And that could also lead you to like anxiety and greed, like how I said.
Yeah.
And most importantly, spiritual emptiness.
Spiritual emptiness. Yeah. Because when you obtain all of these things of the earth, like where do you have room?
Right.
Where do you have the time and the room when you're so focused on getting the next perfume?
Mm-hmm. You're missing out on so much more that you could be having.
Yeah. We cannot be focusing on this kind of stuff, guys. Like, yeah, get a couple sprays. Get a couple, like, you know, get a few things. Like, that's okay. But we are not called to focus on that in our entire life, you know, for our entire life and all of our time.
Mm-hmm.
God wants our time. And that's how we're going to be blessed beyond measure. If you don't give him the time, we're not going to be his friend. He's not going to want us to be with him eternally. And he's not going to force us to be either.
Right. Free will.
You be stealing my scripture, girl.
Technically. You'd be stealing mine.
Who wrote it first? No, I'm just kidding.
Probably me. No, I'm kidding. Have you ever heard in church them saying to be like stewards of Christ?
Yeah.
I've always heard it, but I never like dug into that.
Okay.
And I did.
Preach to me, girl.
So being a steward, first of all, of Christ refers to like the responsibility that Christians have to manage and utilize their gifts, their resources, and opportunities in a way that honors God and furthers his mission. So I didn't know if you knew that or if you had like if you ever thought of it in a different way.
I feel like that was my idea of it, but I like that you went a little bit more into it because it made me understand even more.
Yeah, because I know like anybody could have an idea of like what it means, but to like fully get the actual
definition. What was the first line again?
We should be stewards of Christ, which means it refers to the responsibility.
Responsibility.
That Christians have to manage and utilize their gifts. Utilize, I like that word too. Their resources and opportunities in a way that honors Jesus and furthers his mission.
I love that.
So we have a bigger responsibility and we have to learn how to utilize it.
Yeah.
To be able to help him out with the mission that he set out for us to do.
I very much love that because it just shows that it's not a walk in the park following Jesus, but it's more rewarding than anything. If we are wanting those fruits and all that he can do in our lives, he's saying we do have a responsibility. It's not easy. But if you do it, it's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
It's well worth it.
I mean, everybody carries responsibilities throughout the world. Like with their mm-hmm. kids, that's a big responsibility that you have. And so just imagine what it could be if you are responsible with God and mm-hmm. all that it offers. Mm-hmm. And we actually first must recognize that he is the center of all the stuff that we have. It's not that he is Lord. He's the ultimate, like he's the owner of everything. And like every day I thank him. First and foremost, before praying for anybody or anything, I always thank him for all that I have because without him, I don't even know how I would have it.
Yeah.
Like my house, my home, my job. Like, and you don't see me boasting about either one of them either.
Yeah.
Like I have my own business, but honestly, without him, I wouldn't be able to keep it up. Like it's mm-hmm. hard. Obviously, you want to like give up most of the time, but he gives me the strength to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
So I just always make sure that he knows that I like thank him for all that he has given me. And we're also called to manage our resources wisely and faithfully, such as like your finances,
mm-hmm.
In ways that align with his teachings, like basically how you were saying before.
Right.
So for his kingdom.
Right. My thought on that is also like, even people that don't follow God, they are blessed. Like God blesses you even when you're not with him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really sad to me that a lot of people have all these things and they're not thanking God. They don't know
they think they
that it really
did
is
it
from God.
Yeah.
And
what they don't know is God is really trying to show them the light. But unfortunately, we live in a devil-owned world.
Oh, snap.
We do. We do. You hear that the devil is like the king of the earth, right?
Basically, yeah.
He's taken over. And I just really, really hope that anyone that's listening or just in general, they can snap out of it and they can realize what they have is from the creator of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he created men who did create things, but, like, from God. God gives us our brains. God gives us the ability to do all these things. Everything is from him.
Right.
So don't store your treasure here, because you can't bring it up. I have another little scripture here. So this is 2 Corinthians 4:17-18. It says, "For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever."
I like that last line.
Isn't that nice?
Because Jesus is eternal.
Mm-hmm. So everything we see here on earth will soon be gone. We need to focus on what our eternal life will be and how to get there. That's the most important thing.
How to get there, guys.
How to get there.
Wait, you say that with such like a country accent.
How to get there. That's what we need to focus on, how to get there. And that's why Rachel and I created this podcast. We want to share with you how to get there.
And think about like when you do get there, like all the riches and glory that you will have around you.
Yeah.
And it's going to be pure better. Joy.
It's not going to be having a Rolex.
Right. And you get to have it with Jesus. Like, imagine being right next to him too and everything. Like,
yeah.
They say it's like the pearly gates and yes. all this and that. Like, I wish I had pearly gates at my house, you know, but like my mansion up there will.
Yep. I just can't wait to not have to think about like money or pain or
suffering.
Yes. Or desires. Like, we're not gonna have those desires following Jesus.
And you get to party 24/7 up there, guys.
It's gonna be a pure holy, like, feel good party. And we're gonna take care of business, of course, but we're gonna be honored too. You know, our minds are gonna be completely shifted, our bodies and minds, and it's a beautiful thing.
It
I don't want to miss out on that.
I don't either. There are ways that you can like put boundaries on the whole money aspect, maybe like how you spend. And I always gravitated more towards this money part. I feel like I did it differently, but I feel like in my early 20s, that's when I was trying to like maybe compare myself to others because I was getting out there in the real world and everything. And yeah. I was like, ooh, okay, I see them with this. I should get that. I might look cool with this. So, like, I would...
Well, that's normal.
I would literally waste my money on stuff. And that was just throughout my 20s. I always had, like, a spending habit. And it left me with nothing in the end because there would be times where I fall on my face and I'm like, oh, crap. Like,
you still have your problems. You still have all that nonsense.
Yes, but the difference is now is that I actually... like give it to God. Like I'll even in the roughest of times, I'll make sure like I'll pray to God. But and that's even no matter how much I have, I could it could be a great week or it could be a bad week, but no matter what, I'll still thank God for all that I have, and for him to obviously always like continue to like bless me and help, because he obviously knows what you need when you need it.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's why I also gravitate toward this part. And so there were some boundaries with the possessions and everything that would help me, but also I feel like could help others as well, I guess. I have a few that I wrote down.
I'm glad that you learned that.
Yes. And I mean, obviously, as we were saying before, like
sometimes we like our lip gloss and this and that and everything, but it's how you go about it. You don't see me having like a whole cart of lip glosses and this
200 bottles,
one for each day or whatever. But one of them is set biblical priorities for money. So align your financial goals and spending habits with kingdom values, prioritizing generosity and community needs and et cetera. So like maybe your church or I find myself now, instead of buying for me and being all selfish, like I'll go to a store and I'll be like, oh, I already have something like that. Let me get it for like my mom or somebody to make them happy instead of me. Even as small as buying people flowers, I started doing that recently. Like, oh, they seem sad, so let me just buy them flowers because it'll brighten up their day, or maybe somebody hasn't done that for them. You know what I mean? So just like stuff like that. And then practice contentment, which is develop a practice of gratitude for what you already have, which helps counteract the pull of greed and the desire for more. Focus on spiritual riches and the joy that comes from relationships with God and others rather than material possessions.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. If we, you know, the amount that we're thankful for will help us not to care about those things.
And you even said before, like, if you fill your heart up with all that stuff, you're not going to make room for what matters most, which is God and like the relationships around you, like friendships or family.
Right.
And then also avoid comparing with others. And this is what I was saying about what I did before.
That is hard one.
Living simply and humbly without constant comparison allows you to maintain healthy boundaries with money and possessions, focusing instead on what truly matters, like I said, which is your relationship with God and others,
than what the world has.
Yeah. And I remember when I was able to, one of the biggest things that I'm happy I had in the moment, but I wish I saved my money for other stuff, was when I leased my very first car. I didn't need something that big. I had, at the time, out of all the SUVs at Ford, it was one of the good ones. I had the Explorer, and I remember coming home all happy, thinking that I did the right choice. I was literally working for that car. My paychecks would literally go to that car because it was a car payment at the time that I couldn't obviously do, because I just started out in the industry.
You wanted the fancy stuff.
I did, and I was like, oh, I'll look cool with it and this and that. So I've definitely learned from that. And I remember my husband now was my boyfriend at the time still, and so he was actually mad at me. He was like, why would you even get that?
Really?
He goes, you like don't think before you do things. And I think that's what people do with their money now as well. Like, they don't think, they just are like, oh, I have the money, let me just dish it. But then honestly, in the end, you're gonna hopefully regret it, because like me, I was using that money towards that when I didn't have room to give it to God or whatever the case is that I should have used it for at that time.
So that's, we have to be careful where we put our money,
right? So that's like one of the biggest things that I remember in my 20s I didn't need to spend money on.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
We all have those few things that's like, why did I go with that? You know, it doesn't make any sense,
right? And I feel like I'm better with money now, one, because I have God more, and I obviously like rather be humble and praise him with it than myself or whatever. And I feel like also God has sense of humor and gives me an accountant husband who, now being married, obviously like you have somebody else looking over your finances as well. So I feel like I had to learn anyway. But also it just helped. It was hand in hand. Like, he sent me somebody that is also similar to my dad. So, like, I could never leave it. And then also just blessing God and not myself, like how I said before.
Yeah, so, God does that. He works in mysterious ways.
It says, I can't get away from
it. He knew from the get-go.
Yep.
Oh, man. So, So my notebook has scripture on the bottom of each page.
Oh, yeah.
And this one kind of
does like, it go goes with it?
With it a little bit.
What does it say?
Have you heard of Habakkuk?
Habakkuk? I've never actually read it myself personally, but when like people preach and stuff.
Tell me why. I haven't really, I can't recognize that.
No?
As much.
I don't think it's a big book in the Bible either. Like, it must be like one of the small, like quick ones.
Okay. Well, this says, it's Habakkuk 3:17-18, and it says, even though the fig trees are all destroyed, and there is neither blossom left nor fruit, and though the olive crops all fail, and the fields lie barren, even if the flocks die in the fields, and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be happy in the God of my salvation. So it's kind of cool because there's all these earthly possessions right here. And
it doesn't last.
No. So even, you know, even when they're all empty, I strive. Even if this world, like, went to crap, it went, you know, empty.
Mm-hmm.
I strive to still rejoice in the Lord because I know I have my salvation. And anyone who has salvation should feel that way.
Right.
Because we all know that we're going to have God eternally.
Mm-hmm.
And even if things go south on this world, which we all know one day is going to happen.
Right.
I think just knowing and being a Christian and living for Jesus and God, it just gives us a sense of peace that even when that does happen, we're going to be okay.
Right.
So I thought that was cool that, because I go page to page every week or every time we write it, and this one kind of went nice.
Yeah, Habakkuk is only 3 chapters, so it's like one of those quick small ones.
Wow.
But he does give us a piece that is unexplainable, yeah. Kind of like that time with the movie theater story that I told you. Do you remember?
Wait, movie theater.
So when I went to go watch the new movie.
Yeah, yeah.
I had a feeling like something was going to happen, but I just like wasn't sure exactly what, or I was like, oh, maybe it's just me. Cause sometimes like I would do that to myself and get anxious, but it wasn't going away and it just kept like poking at me. And I'm like, but what the heck is going to happen? And so like during the movie, I guess I've never had this happen to me before because I literally seen it in movies, but like I've never had it done. And out of nowhere, like the cop just comes and says, we have to evacuate. And they thought there was like a shooting and this and that.
That's crazy.
All in all, although I was anxious about it before, I think because I kind of settled in with it and knew something would probably happen, and I knew I have God, I know I have like salvation and all that. So I felt that like instant peace and that calmness, and the person I was with wasn't. And so I was like, okay, now I'm responsible for this as well because like I have God, so let me like, I know what he can do. I know what I'm supposed to do. So I just stayed calm the whole time. And I just guided the whole time. And I was like, let's go to the car, this and that. And we were obviously safe. But just the fact that it was,
to remain calm.
I felt like it was the Holy Spirit warning me beforehand. And then just always continuing to be with me. And as sad and deep as this may sound, whatever, if it actually was true with the shooting and everything, whatever happened would have happened. I feel like God would have gotten me out of it, obviously, and kept me safe. But even if something did happen, I've already, like, it is what it is.
Yeah.
And, like, you kind of, you, if you're that grounded in it, you would know, like, where you're going to go. And you'll be fine with that.
Yeah, that's amazing. I feel like you've grown so much, too. Because maybe several years ago, you wouldn't have felt that way. You would have been a little more anxious. Right.
And I'm saying, I feel like the more I go into it, each month, each day, each year with God.
Yeah.
I've realized that more of me comes out and like that I didn't know. And I obviously would be scared and have anxiety and doubt and all this and that if I didn't have him, or even if I was weaker in faith, I would say.
That just goes to show you that he's with you. Like, you are doing the right thing. You're trying your best. We're not perfect, but we know that we feel the Holy Spirit and we get through stuff like that because of it.
Yeah.
Whereas if you didn't, we know how it would go.
Right.
I know a couple of years ago how it would go when I feel really sad because of something, or I'm arguing, you know, like I know how I reacted a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And I was still, I wasn't that much different in age, you know, a couple of years ago. No, I know what changed that. And I know for a fact what it was. And what it is.
And you also know what, like, it also made me happy in a way because obviously, like, each day we all strive to be a better Christian with that walk with God. Like, we're always going to think worse of ourselves. So maybe, like, we feel like we lack in some areas and we try to work at it. Mm-hmm. But what's great to me is that, like, you never really know how much you do if, or like, maybe you think to yourself, oh, do other people see Christ in me? Because you obviously want to shine that light everywhere right. you go. And so even afterwards, the person I was with at the movies, although it might sound like funny or whatever, it made me feel a certain way because she said, I stuck with you and I was safe with you because I know you have God. And like, just to show that, like, he is radiating through me. So like, the fact that they could see that, and she felt safe enough to be with me because she knew that I had Christ. So maybe I could help her too, in a way. Right. So like, that just kind of like makes you feel good about yourself.
Yeah.
Especially with like God and everything. So it's like, we always think down on ourselves in our walk, like maybe we're not doing this or that, but like, mm-hmm. You literally show it.
Yeah. Which is why we are on this walk.
Yeah.
Because we know the difference between having God and not having God.
And there's also a difference. You also have to walk the walk and talk the talk. Mm-hmm. Don't just walk and not go nowhere.
Yeah, that's what we've been through though, right?
Yeah, yeah.
We've worked so hard to be close to God so we can experience that. And we don't want to live like we used to.
Right.
We don't want to spaz out or get angry or hyperventilate, you know?
Yeah.
We don't want to have a lack of peace and joy in our lives.
Yeah, that's true.
And we know what can get us there. We've experienced both.
And I feel like because we've had that tangible experience, when things do happen, why would you want to go back? It's like this feeling that like you can't even get. I feel like that's why I always say it's unexplainable, because like, only if you have that with God you could feel it. But if it's somebody off the street and like they might think you're psycho, they're not gonna know. But like, I don't know, it's just a feeling you want over and over again.
I would never want to go back.
Don't look back. Don't let that plow.
I would never.
Don't let the plow go sideways.
I've already done that once. Yeah. I wasn't like fully in, but you know.
Right.
I've gone back and it wasn't pretty. And I don't want to experience anything different.
Nothing in this world is pretty.
Girl, I can have my sad days now. I can have moments of doubt, moments of questionable emotions, you know,
mm-hmm.
but it's nothing like it used to.
Mm-mm.
And I can just literally shift my focus and pray or worship God, and he relieves me of that. Or I can now surrender and trust God. It took me a long time to get there. You know, I had to force myself for months and months to be able to let go and be like, okay, God, it's in your hands.
As a human, when you're not in church or have that relationship, you try and try and try on your own, but it's
control.
And it's never gonna work, because you could try all that you want by yourself, but the flesh is weak. So like, you're obviously going to fall at some point. Only God could carry you through. So I think you've tried again and again, feeling like you like ran a marathon, and now you're like, okay, just take it. Like, I give up.
Yeah.
You know?
But it's not easy. You can't just do that the first time and be like,
you have to obviously learn and fall on your face and like, no, and
to let go and let God.
Yeah.
It takes some time. It takes some work.
Control is a hard thing to let go of.
It is. It is. And we were created that way. And I think God created us that way to see who truly will turn to him.
That's true too. Yeah.
You know, this is all a test. It's all a big test, guys.
I'm usually not good at tests in school, but
we're doing pretty good on this test. We're not perfect, but I think us youngins are doing pretty good on this test, and we're only gonna strive to get better.
Right. I think it's because it's more of a tangible, visual type of thing in this relationship with God. Like, pick up your Bible, you're reading it, you're doing things on your own. I can't be talked at, so like, I feel like this is a test that I could definitely pass.
Right. I'm thankful for that. That's the best thing that's ever happened to us.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank you for actually helping me out with that, too.
I thank you for seeing the light in me.
It shone right through your eyeballs, girl. Ew. Okay, so I know we already touched on this, but this is some scripture about people who love the world and earthly possessions do not have a love for God. And it says it
in the Bible, it's impossible. If you have such a strong love for earthly possessions, you don't love God. You don't have a love for God in your life, in your heart. This is 1 John 2:15-17. It says, "Do not love this world nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world, and this world is fading away, along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever." So,
people crave.
I know. This world is fading away along with everything that people crave.
Which also shows how it's temporary. It's not going to last you forever.
If that's not loud enough, let me say it again.
Even louder.
And this world is fading away along with everything that people crave. Our obsessions, our possessions, everything we crave. The food we crave, the abundance we crave, the money, the
amounts of drugs and alcohol people try to consume in this world.
It's all fading away. Mm-hmm. We know that the world is fading away. We know what's going to happen. We see the prophecy in the Bible of what's happening and what is going to happen. But this scripture says, along with the world fading away, our desires and our things will be dwindling like a dust speck in the wind.
We would be fading away too. Well, not me and you, but like people in the world would be fading away too.
Yep. We will be.
Especially when people get the anxiety and the, just like all those feelings, like you're gonna fade yourself away along with your stuff. So you could die with your possessions.
Right.
And it ain't gonna go to heaven.
It ain't coming with you. No. And you know what the best part about that is? Our fears and anxieties and our pain, just like we were talking about, will fade away along with that. How amazing, man. How amazing is that?
I just want to read something quick that I read this morning. It's not even part of my notes or anything.
It's all right.
Go for it. And I actually cried at this morning. I'm not going to lie.
Aww. Rachel? Hello?
Listen, only Jesus could see my weakness, okay? It was in Proverbs chapter 1. So this is basically saying what God would do if you refuse to, like, know him and turn to him.
Oof.
And the way that it's written, it just seems so real to me when I read it. I think that's why I also cried, because one, I'm glad I'm not in that predicament, mm-hmm. but also it just saddens me for other people.
Yeah.
If you will turn and pay attention to my rebuke, behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Because I called and you refused to answer, I stretched out my hand and no one has paid attention to my offer. And you treated all my counsel as nothing and would not accept my reprimand. I also will laugh at your disaster. I will mock when your dread and panic come. Oof. When your dread and panic come like a storm, and your disaster comes like a whirlwind. My anxiety and distress come upon you as retribution. Then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me eagerly, but they will not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would not accept my counsel, and they spurned all my rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat of the fruit of their own wicked way and be satiated with the penalty of their own devices. For the turning away of the naive will kill them, and the careless ease of self-righteous fools will destroy them.
Wow. That makes me want to cry, too.
So when you were talking about, like, your things wither away, I'm saying so will you, because if you choose to ignore him.
If you're not with God,
yeah. Then he will be like, okay, you chose that, then this is what will happen.
And try not to cry. That's crazy.
See? And it's like, yeah, this morning, it was a whole thing this morning.
I just can't take it. I just, if you don't, if you have not tried and you don't know God and you hear all of this, right? You hear the testimonies of God's people, you hear the scripture God's saying, and you have never even tried to feel his spirit, put in a little effort to see for yourself, then you're doing this to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You won't even put your pride away and just say, oh, let me see if this is real. Like, because if you do try, you're gonna see that it is real.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to call on the Holy Spirit and you're going to feel the Holy Spirit. You're going to feel the fruits he gives you that you never could experience before that.
Mm-hmm.
If you think you're happy, if you think you have joy, wait till you could feel it 100%. Like, wait till he gives you his joy and all of the fruits.
And I always say it's a different feeling, but I feel like he makes sure that it's a certain feeling so that you keep wanting more, so that you keep, like, thirsting mm-hmm. for more, and that you yes. just want to keep going back to him for more.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, I want that all the time.
Right.
He doesn't always give it to you, but when you call on him and you're true and you're repenting and you're praying to him, he's going to give you that. He's going to give you all that and above.
Mm-hmm. And bringing it back to the whole money aspect, especially in my life personally, I always bring it to him, no matter, as I said before, how good or bad. Like, just because you're going through something bad, that's not the only time you should be talking to God or praying to God or thanking him for everything.
Right.
It should also be, like, when it's good and bad. And
yeah.
So I constantly go to him, but also I have something to say. So I don't know if I touched base with it on here before, if it was just you personally, but when I would always let things, like, build up inside,
mm-hmm.
and then at some point I will spiral. And so and so when it comes to finances, like, it's hard in our industry because obviously we only get paid per person or whatever. Mm-hmm. And my husband gets paid every other week. So if mm-hmm. there's a bad week where I know I'm, like, slow at work and it's an off week for him, maybe something comes up with being a house owner. Things always come up that you got to fix.
Mm-hmm.
There was one time I recall that I was about to spiral because I just kept putting everything on the back burner. And I was mm-hmm. like, okay, it'll get better. And the human part of me of wanting to take the control was about to come in. And that's when I was going to spiral. I was going to try to figure it out on my own. But I remember I was in the shower, if you must know, and I was literally about to spiral. And so out of nowhere, I feel like God was definitely there to remind me because
reaching out his hand.
He was, because randomly I just stated a verse and I was like, where did that verse even come from? Because,
oh, yeah, that's happened to me.
Yeah. A verse randomly came into my mind, and I'm like, wait, I've definitely, like, heard of the verse maybe, like,
yeah.
while back in church or whatever, but, like, it's not, like, something I always come up with.
Yeah.
And so I recited it, and only a small part of it, and I was like, what the heck? So afterwards, mm-hmm. I just started crying because obviously, like, oh crap, like, God's here to remind me, like, I'm over here crying about X, Y, and Z, but he's mm-hmm. over here reminding me that he's greater than it.
Yeah.
And I just need that. So then after I got out of the shower and everything, I had to look it up because I was like, where did I hear this from? And it's actually one of my favorite verses that I fall back on when it comes to money, because it's Matthew chapter 6, same chapter we read earlier, right?
Yeah.
Out of nowhere, this came into my head earlier today. And same chapter, but down more. In starting at verse 25, it literally says, "That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. So when I was reading that...
Is that what kind of popped in your head?
Yeah, so the part where it was talking... So,
do not worry about what you eat or drink.
I think the part that came into my head at that moment in the shower was if the something as simple as the birds are flying around, they don't have a plan for what they're going to eat, they just find it because God provides it everywhere.
Yeah.
Then why aren't I as important? So that's what I was kind of stating in my head. And I was like, wait, where did that even come from?
Ah, okay.
And so it just also showed me that he's never let me fail, because it wasn't just that one time, obviously, that would be bad, you know, like a rough time.
Right.
So anytime, he's always been there for me, and he's pulled me through no matter what I had to go through to get there.
Yeah.
And as back to him always having like humor. If I have a slow week at work, I'll literally pray to him like I do every day, but I'll also add like, send me at least one person, or like, you know, like I need more like to survive, to live. And so not every time, obviously, because he doesn't work like that, but sometimes later on that day or within a day or two, I'll get a message from somebody and they'll reach out, and I'm like, oh, thank God. Like I always I'll like just drop everything and just praise him there.
Yeah.
But this morning was like a whole thing, because all that came up.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I feel like I'm talking forever.
No.
All that came up. And this morning, you know me in the gym. I skipped the gym. Something with me today, like I woke up, I was getting ready for the gym. I'm like, you know what? No. Like something inside me was like, no. So I didn't go to the gym because I didn't want to just like rush into like the podcast or whatever the case is. So I was like, no, I feel like I need to stay home. I used that hour and a half as like my own worship time, and that's when I was like starting to like sing songs. And it was okay, but like it wasn't enough. So then out of nowhere, like the song Gyro came into my head, so I played Gyro. That's what kick started it. And in the bridge, I didn't realize that they said it was talking about the sparrows and like in this. So then I was like, wow,
the lilies.
Yeah. And so then I was like wait, that's literally in my thing to say today. And then song after song had to do with the other, and it just all worked out. That's why I also said I was crying.
Yeah.
And I was reading Exodus before, but out of nowhere, Proverbs came into my head. And I was like, I feel like I need to, like, open that. Because in the past, it was either, like, Exodus, Proverbs. I had some books lined up that I wanted to read. And I was like, you know what? Forget Exodus for now. Let me open up Proverbs. And chapter one was literally what I read about if you deny God and all that.
Yeah.
What he would do to you. And that's why I also started crying, because I was like, wow, bringing it back to the topic, like how if we choose the possessions and everything over God, that's what God would do to you.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't want that. So that was my morning.
He works it all out.
I feel like it was like a whole full circle moment. And then
he does that. Like, we've seen him do that. It's amazing.
And it's also amazing that feeling that you get inside. And I was just like, so, like something is just tugging me not to go work out this morning, put on that song, read that thing. There was obviously a reason for everything, so like don't ignore it.
Yeah, he probably wanted you to have rest in your body too.
Oh, stop it. I'll probably work out later, but you know, Jesus first.
No, I love that. It all worked out and it all connected.
Yeah,
and that happens a lot with God. We see it.
I didn't realize it was gonna be that long of a story, so my bad.
That's all right. That's okay. I can relate. I have those moments where I'm about to be really upset and I just know it's going to go downhill and ruin my day. But then I'll like look in the mirror and I'll be like, Elissa, just let it go to me or something like, and I'll say it out loud.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yo, I'm like, I did not say, like, he spoke through me. He literally made me say that. Like, I had no recollection of sin. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It's one of those, it happens a few times. It's one of those where I just, like, say a few words and I'm like, thank you, God. I, like, I'll say it and I'll be like, thank you, God. I just knew it was from him. And it's amazing because then you feel yourself, like, if you accept it, you're like, okay, thank you, God. You knew it was from him. It helps.
Right.
It changes your whole mood, and you know
it does.
The rest of your
day. Just feel more at peace.
Yeah.
I love it.
And then everything just flows otherwise. But that's also why, like, when I was in that time this morning, whenever somebody comes into your mind, there's obviously a reason for it. Maybe mm-hmm. he's putting them there for some reason. So reach out. So that's why this morning I also randomly sent you that song.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know. But, like, even right after, you were like, I'm feeling sad for some reason today.
Yeah.
And that was after I sent the song. And I don't even think you listened to it at the moment because it kind of, like, sent at the same time. And so then I was like, oh, wow, then maybe that song will help you. I don't know if you listened to the full thing or not, but.
Yeah, it was really empowering. It was an 8-minute song, by the way.
I know. Maverick City always is.
It was really beautiful. And I did need the words you gave me. And the song was really nice to hear.
Yeah, it was mainly, like, the verses and the chorus. Everything after that. But, you know.
No, it was really good.
Yeah.
I did need that. I had to come out of that sadness today. And I'm going to keep praying about it.
That's all you can do.
Yeah.
But this is the type of thing that it's okay to boast about. Like, what he's done for me, for you, and all this and that. But
heck yeah.
Yeah. That's why I'm also, like, sorry, not sorry that I just... talked for like 10 minutes.
No, it's a testimony in itself. It amazes me how God can connect so many things.
I'll be my mom right now. Instead of testimony, it's a thanksimony, because I thank Jesus for all that he has done.
thank you Jesus for everything. We see you and we honor you and we want to live through you and you and us, and we just thank you that you know, you have that Holy Spirit that can help us every single day. And we feel the difference with it and without it. And that's why we're here. So we thank you. Amen.
Yes.
I think we're coming to an end. Do you have anything to say?
Nope. I think I said
we got a lot out. Yeah. Hopefully this reached some hearts, and I just pray that whoever is listening can put into action anything that you learned from this podcast. We're not perfect. We're just talking about our own experiences, and we're talking about how scripture affects us and what we study and what we think about it and what we feel.
Mm-hmm.
Through the Bible and just the Holy Spirit, and we want to share that with you.
Mm-hmm. And if you are caught in the worldly pleasures, I just pray that you also, like, open up your eyes to your eyes and your heart to the lasting peace that he could give you, the satisfaction that he could give you.
Yeah.
Because only he could provide that.
Mm-hmm.
So just try to seek him. Yes. Above all else. That's all I have to say.
Yes, 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 and amen. Here's our hymn. It's an old hymn called I Surrender. We wanted to put that out there for you.
It's an oldie but goodie.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I free. Trust him in his presence daily live. All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
Thank you. thank you guys so much for joining our podcast today, and we hope that you join again. If you guys have any questions or topic ideas, feel free to comment below, or you can message us through Instagram. We are CaffeinatedFaith1.
And also, if you guys would like to worship with us or are trying to find like a home church if you're in Rhode Island, we are at Saving Grace Worship Center in North Providence. We're usually there on Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesdays for prayer and a word at 6:30. We welcome you to subscribe to our YouTube page on Spotify, on Apple, called Caffeinated Faith. You can also find us on Instagram, which is Caffeinated Faith 1, or Facebook, Caffeinated Faith.